Professor Crick, Harford County Library Oral History Interviewer for the Harford Living Treasures Program. It is about 11 o'clock on Wednesday, July 19, 2000. I'm sitting in the living room of Emma Robinson's Co House on Fountain Street, Hasgrave on Stowe Street, around the corner from Fountain Street in Hasgrave, Maryland. Now that I've made my boo-boo, you can tell me you were born around the corner, right?
Around the corner, next to the rectory, and then after that, next to the rectory. Yeah.
On Fountain Street?
And then when I got married, my husband brought this house. And incidentally, the man who built this house was my godfather.
And what was his name?
Edwin Peterson. He was also a carver. Mm-hmm. I have one of these decoys out there. And he did that. He was a wonderful cook. His wife died. He lived alone, and he invited these older people, but he always invited me. And I was the youngest one, you know. And so it's interesting in that he built the house I'm living in, and my father was a carpenter, and he built the house I was born in, and also worked on this one.
Worked on the house here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what was your dad's name?
Walden Robinson.
And he was a carpenter here?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, and part-time contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your mom's name?
My mom's name was, Janet Swift.
And the gentleman who carved decoys, that built his home?
He built his home.
And he carved decoys.
Yes, okay. And I have one right up there on the table.
Okay. And so you went to school here? What school did you attend?
I was at high school, graduated in 27, and from there, oh, before that.
Where did you attend elementary?
Haverhill.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very athletic.
Yeah.
Not only in school, we played basketball and volleyball, basketball, and I was on all these things because I loved it and I liked to walk, and swimming was my thing. So we had bathhouses down at the park. And when I was a little girl, that's where I learned to swim. And then I graduated from there. When I felt I was really capable of doing some swimming, I graduated to apprentice work. And that was at the end of, I think it was Green Street or, I'm not sure what it was, Green Street or Congress Avenue. And so one day, a friend of mine from Rowanville and I started out swimming. And we kept swimming, and these two young men got in a boat and followed us. So that's when I swam to Brownville.
You swam across the second one?
I swam across
the second one. How old were
you? I was a teenager. I don't know what I was, but I was a teenager. And this friend of mine from Rowanville, we were very close. And he was starting out swimming, and he was 2 minutes out in the boat and followed us, for which I'm very thankful.
Right.
We came back in their boat.
We didn't swim back.
No, we didn't swim back. But that was one of the highlights of my teenage years.
What did your parents think when you told them to swim across the
second one? Old stuff, you know. So what?
I don't know, I couldn't swim that far. and I understand you went to the Baltimore Business College.
Yes, I went to Baltimore Business College, and I graduated from there. I came, worked at the old Cabinet Ministry Publishing Office for 5 years. And what I didn't learn there, you wouldn't put in a textbook. It was a wonderful experience. I ran the small presses, and those days people didn't have telephones. But my boss had a car, and I had a license. So I had to go to these homes when there was a funeral and get the information, or when there was a wedding, and I had to get the information. I drove this car, and I became very friendly with these two sisters. In fact, the whole family, she was like a second mother to me when my mother died. His older sister. And
what was his name?
Sarah. understand it that. He was postmaster at one time. And that was an interesting part of my life, those 5 years. I did everything. I ran the little practice, I ran the lineup, I got news, I just loved it. But then I got married. So that was the end of the job. My husband bought this little home, and then the next year we had a baby, and she's now
66 years old.
Oh, 66.
Yeah.
And she's a lovely person. She's raised in Washington College. She went to Western Maryland. Well, my husband was in Korea, she went 2 years to Western Maryland, and she wanted to transfer to Washington College because of the national survivor. I had to make the decision. My husband was in Korea. And I said, honey, I want you to finish college. I don't know where you want to go or what you want to do. She said, I want to go to Washington College. Well, as it turned out, it was very nice because she has friends now from both schools. And do you know Rosemary Hayden?
No.
You don't know Rosemary?
No.
Oh my goodness, well she was a delegate for years. And now she has given that up and she's working with some family organization. But she and my daughter became best friends, and just recently, they both went to high school together, they both went to college together, and just recently, due to my daughter, she just received the Woman of the Year award from Washington College. And my daughter wrote to the record paper and had this all written out, and they returned it. But I said, well, I would call them and see what happened, because that was a very important part of Rosie's life. But I don't know.
So how did Denise happen?
He came here to school. And the man I was going with, the young fellow I was going with, I thought I was going to marry him and introduce me to him.
Oh my.
this is what I mean. The Lord has us all playing, you know? And so he called me for a date. And I said, well, okay, we'll go out. And then so we went out once and twice and three times, you know, gradually. Now we got married. But as it turned out, he taught school for 10 years.
Where did he teach?
That's what I mean, first year he taught school. And to this day, his students still remember him, and some of them come to see me, and they always have a good word to say about him. He was very strict.
What was your husband's name?
Walter. And he didn't have a name. But
what was his subject?
History and social studies and coaching. So, but that was a then.
When you were working for a publishing newspaper, you said you covered funerals in the home. Mm-hmm. What they were done in the home now?
In the home.
How did that happen? What was that like in those days?
Well, I guess there was a funeral home here, I'm sure. Oh yeah, Pennington had a funeral home. But most funerals were held in the house, and they had a black crepe on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go to these houses and get all this information, which wasn't very pleasant for a young person like I was. But anyway.
Where did they put the body then? Where did they lay them?
Oh, Angel Hill. That's an old cemetery up there.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's buried up there, and I have a body there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the home, did they have the body in the home?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Laid out in the casket in the home. Yeah. Same way with weddings. We had a home wedding, I had to go and get the information, you know. That's another thing of it.
Were you married in your home, or were you married at the church?
I was married in the Episcopal Church. And then
Would that be grace reform?
We didn't have a minister at the time. So we got married at Trinity Episcopal in Elton. And I wanted to be married in the Episcopal Church. So that's what we did. But then let's see. In 41, he was called into the service because he was in the ROTC at Western Maryland College. And he went into the service for 7 years.
What was the war effort like for you here at the time?
Well, it wasn't very funny about that either. They came away, you know, and just got it to raise and educate and everything, but I had to do it. I wanted to keep the house. And so I did it. But then when he came out of service in 46, he was in Europe for 5 years. And came out of, it's in the States. We lived in Tyler, Texas for 1 year, and we lived at Fort Benning for 2 years. We joined him for 3 years when he was stationed in the States. Then, when he came home from the war, Bartle Silva, who panned Red Cross tomatoes, now this is going way back, 1946.
Bartle Silver.
You know the big gray house up on the corner of the Ben Breakfast now?
Right.
Well, that was his mother and father's home. And he lived in the, he lived two doors aside of them. And he came around one day and said, Walter, what are you going to do? And he said, I don't know. He said, well, why don't you can some of it? Well, Walter had never cared in his life. He said, can? And he said, yes, I'm sure you'll get on to it and like it very much. Okay. So he gave it a try. So he worked there until 1951. That's when he went to Korea. And that was an interesting experience to have him pay into all this. He was at Akron, Pennsylvania. He wasn't here in Harvard, but they had factories at Leslie, you know, and also had one at Christiana, Pennsylvania. So there he was, and he would come home weekends.
What sort of vegetables did they sell? Were they vegetables?
Yes, it was tomatoes mostly, under the Red Cross label. They also canned something else, but I don't remember what that was. And then, when he came home in 52 from Korea, that's when he said, can we have tea? I said, could we ever? And so he said, I think I'll go to the post and see what they have down there to offer me. Well, he got a job at Edgewood. He worked at Edgewood for a year. And then he was transferred over to Avenue Green. And he including his army, which amounted to 26 years. So that's how long he worked there. And he was made safety officer by the recruiting room. And that's what he was when he retired. Now, he retired in 72. And that's when we started traveling. We traveled for 20 years. We went to first of all, our first trip was a cross-country motor trip to California. And that was wonderful. They were lovely motels. They were inexpensive. We didn't have all the crime, you know. And I was 62 and he was 64. But that was our first trip across. Then we flew across to San Diego several times for safety meetings, and then we booked a cruise to Alaska, and we drove across to Washington State and left our car there, and then we took the bus and went to Vancouver, spent the weekend at Vancouver Hotel, and then we got on board ship. And that was a wonderful trip. And then when we couldn't drive, when he didn't feel he was able to drive anymore, we shifted to cruises. I don't know how many cruises we went to, but we went to about 16 or 17 islands, including four of Hawaiian islands.
Wow.
And Bermuda and Cozumel and South America and Aruba and I don't know how many. But it's been very interesting. But we did still take a couple of motor trips. We went to Newfoundland, and I guess if we saw a good trip on TV, we'd say, let's take it. We took one around Lake Superior that was very interesting, and we saw it on TV. So this time, we went to Newfoundland, and that was an interesting experience. Another funny thing, my husband loved gardening. He had a little, what do you call it, out in the back of the garage. And
a cold frame?
Yeah. A little, it's like a conservatory.
A little greenhouse.
Greenhouse, yes. And so wherever he went, he took a bucket and a shovel. And people used to kidding, you know, and say, you're going to bury him on one of these steps, you know. But, he would dig up, I said, it won't grow, you're stealing them. But any time he saw anything interesting along the road, you know, he'd get out and do it up. And he would take care of it all the way home. So he brought them home, and they all gone. But, let's
get back to Hazardous here. What did the parents do? I know they live right around the corner. What did they do to enjoy that?
My mother never worked, but I know.
She worked in home security.
She worked at home. She took care of the house and her husband. My father was a part-time contractor on a carpenter.
Mm-hmm. did he work on a lot of the homes?
Yes, he did. And he was a good friend of the Vanderbilt. You know the Vanderbilt Inn?
Okay, yeah.
He was a good friend of theirs, and they had a tugboat. And my father had a lot of trips through the island, and he would come home with baskets of vegetables, like a whole basket of asparagus or corn or tomatoes or whatever they were growing here. He always came home with this big basket of vegetables. And
so the tugboat left from Hatfield then?
Yeah. But when I lived on Fountain Street, it wasn't like it is now.
What was it like when you found it? What was it like?
It's wonderful. We had wonderful neighbors. I knew them all. They all knew me. My grandmother owned half of the lot that the church was built on, and the Whitaker sisters owned the other half.
What was the grandmother's name?
Agnes Swift. She lived to be 99. Agnes McCubbin Swift. Now, my daughter had joined the Buchanan Society because of this McCubbin.
How did that spell
McCubbin? M-C-C-B-B-I-N. She was Agnes McCubbin, you know, Harrison Swift, and he was in the Civil War. But they owned half of that lot.
Which side did he fight for?
Oh, the North, of course.
Well, you're in Maryland.
I know we were split. But he was in Maryland. But, so the Mrs. Whitaker sold their half to the church. And they built the church the same year I was born, 1910. Mm-hmm. So that's, I say they built this church in my honor. But when I was 5 years old, the church was struck by lightning. It was a mess. My sister and I went inside, which we shouldn't have done, but all the neighbors went in. and the mattress was hanging down, you know, and everything. And we didn't have a fire whistle, but when anybody noticed a fire, they would call the operator, who happened to be Miss Friesen at the time. And she would call, the firemen would get together, you know, and come out, take them to save it. But, believe it or not, that was in August. And that church was rebuilt and ready for services by the following December. And Mr. Pearson, he built it and helped to build that church. And he paid a lot of money for it, too. And, but the neighbors, I can remember all of them, were just wonderful. And my grandmother owned the house next door to them, so she owned the whole half of the block. But she eventually sold all of her property and came to live with us because her husband was dead, you know. And she was just like, now when she was 72, she went to Stanton, Delaware and kept house for my uncle, his wife had died. And she kept house until she was in her 80s and she died of her hip. So they brought all the family, came to my mother's and they brought grandmother down, prayed again, called a doctor. Dr. Steiner said there's no point in getting sandbags anything except you won't live.
What would you use the sandbags for?
Just put the sand to test.
Oh, so they would say?
Because that's what it's like to them, you know, that's right. They use sandbags. And, but she lived for 3 years. Went up and down steps. Did it. And, they said she was in her 99th year, and we all hoped she lived to be 100 years. And she did. So that was, good.
Do you remember when you were kid, any of the games or any of the activities?
Oh, sure. We had, even the college kids from the alley would come up and play with us.
Mm-hmm.
And all the children around here, we'd sit on somebody's steps, you know, and play one potato, two potatoes, three potatoes, sure, four potatoes, five potatoes, six potatoes. And we'd play high spy, and we roller skated, and good things like that.
Is there any special celebrations you have today, Sam?
Well, at Christmas, I had an uncle who was not married and lived in Pittsburgh. And he came to our house every Christmas, put on a Santa Claus suit. And my sister and I would come halfway down the stairs and look in on him, one or the other, but anyway, we knew he was Santa Claus, you know, and we knew that he was doing all this stuff, but that was fun, and oh yeah, Christmas is a big, you know, everybody's celebrating Christmas,
did the town have any celebrations during the holidays, or? Was it really family time?
It was family time. I don't remember the kids doing anything, but I guess they did. But I was so absorbed with my own home, you know, that I didn't.
What was school like? Do you remember seeing your teachers?
I remember it all.
Well, who were they?
I went, in the first grade, I went to City Hall.
City Hall had?
City Hall had a classroom up there, and I was in my first grade. I went to, I only went there 1 year. My second grade, I went to the old school in Algiers, old elementary. And my second grade teacher was Miss Wilson, who lived on the avenue. My third grade teacher was Miss Rollins, whom I loved. And we all cried when she left. And my fourth grade teacher was Florence Herman, and she was an Aberdeen woman. And she lived to be a good age.
How do you say her last name?
C-R-O-N-I-N. And she was my fourth grade. My fifth grade teacher was Alex Kelly, another teacher I loved. And we corresponded for a long time. In the sixth grade, I had Sue Dominick, who lived up 155 and who walked to school every morning and walked back up 155. And she lived in the house where Dr. Winter lived. You don't know the Winter, but he was a chiropractor. Well, anyway, that was their old home. And then my seventh grade teacher was Phil Howard. She was another, she's a big teacher. And my daughter had her. When we came back from Texas, she was ready for the sixth grade. And I said, honey, I'd like to, if you can, I'd like you to have Miss Howard. We did it at the table of a player company. So she and Miss Howard. And then my seventh grade big teacher was Sue Donnelly. And Sue was one of the few who had taken a trip to Europe. That was way, way back. So we had to hear all about this trip to Europe, you know, and everything. It was interesting. And then from the eighth, I had Sal Calloway and Mrs. Decker, Nellie Brown, and Mrs. Dobson. And Helen Rouse taught us French, and she and I became very, we were friendly until she died. We became very friendly. And she and her husband and Walter and I did a lot together. Just after I had started, we were still friends. And I had a wonderful life. I had a wonderful school. I can't imagine what it's like today.
What kind when you went to the Boston Business, what kind of things did you college? What kind of subjects did you take?
I think,
so you were all ready for the to work for the newspaper then?
Yes, bookkeeping.
How did you decide what you wanted to get? I mean, what's the thing to do? Always want to go and be a writer or work at a paper or just...
I wanted a job.
You want a job?
So I went down and talked to them and they said, okay, you can get a job for $12 a week. $12 a week. And so I was supposed to go out and collect news, you know, and hand it into them. We had what they call a local column, and we had local news. It was something like what Susie Hirsch had now. And I made $12 a week. So then I learned, while I was there, I learned how to operate the line of sight, a little practice. And as I say, I had car lights, and so I went to all these places for funerals and weddings. And in the process, I did everything that run the big paper press, and I didn't make half a bill or anything like that. But I forget how much I was making when I left there. But it was pretty good considering the time.
What kind of car did you drive? Do you remember?
Oh. No, I don't remember. It was a sedan. I don't remember what makes it work. I'm sorry.
That's okay. did many women have their licenses in those days?
Not too many. No.
I didn't think it did.
No.
Mm-hmm. I have looked all kinds of places you were involved in the community, I got to ask you, the Harford County Girl Club for 49 years?
49 years. I'm the longest membership.
So how did you get involved in the Girl Club?
My husband and I saw an ad in the paper in 1950, and we thought we would like it. So we went to Bel Air, I moved to Orleans in 1950. George Drum was president, his wife was secretary. There were only a handful of people there. And then we graduated from, I think we met in the library at Bel Air High School, I'm not sure. But then we went to different schools and had meetings. I had prominent speakers and we had bird walks, went to a lot of bird walks. Until we were not able to walk anymore.
What were some of the fun areas you went walking in?
Oh, well, we had a conference once a year in Ocean City. Mm-hmm. And then you signed up wherever you wanted to go. So we went to Wallace Island and Kokomo Falls and the Shad Landing and the other landing, and the one down in the, we went to a lot of places.
What's one of your favorite areas to bird watch in Harford County?
I guess the rock. We went to Tiding's property. Kind of the richest end of town. We had bird walks down there. The club was so small, but we did go to all these places, and we enjoyed that.
Did you ever sight any really unusual?
Yeah. Yeah. Unusual birds, but I don't remember what the were now.
They were too unusual.
Yeah. I have a list. I have a life list of about 300 species. Mm-hmm. But our bird club now, he's every other month at Churchill Presbyterian Church, and the ladies that are serving are there. And we have a speaker, and they have bird walks, and somebody will tell what they did on the bird walk, and then we have, but I can't go on everybody.
Well, I know they have a feeder out back.
Yes,
they do. Yes. How the birds come.
Yeah, I have a feeder.
And so you belong to the PTA, the Parent Teachers
Association,
in the 1940s. What was the PTA like in the 1940s?
Well, we had a handful of parents. And I remember Margaret Coakley was president, and I was secretary. And we did the usual things, you know, we had a business meeting, and that sort of thing.
Did you make fundraisers for the kids?
Oh, sure. I don't remember what they were.
And you're also a member of the Hawk Memorial Women's Auxiliary?
The Memorial Auxiliary, yes. I was treasurer there for 5 years.
And what sort of things did the women's auxiliary do?
Well, one thing, we collected, back then, we collected books, coloring books for the children. We also made bandages, and we also served visitors came. Mm-hmm. We had a group that volunteers to serve at the front desk and to show, tell them where to go, you know, what to do and all that. And but I, when I was treasurer, we dealt with Watton Sharon in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We bought most of our supplies from there. That was an interesting thing. And I'm still a member.
Are you?
I don't send in my duties, but I don't.
You don't fold bandages anymore.
No, I don't go to the meetings. I've got to look at what they've done, you know.
Right.
I feel for duty.
Yes. Also, you're a member and still of the Retired Officer Wives Auxiliary. How did you get involved in that? And what was...
You have to be the wife of a...
Well, when did you join that?
but anyway, if the way you joined, if you knew of somebody who was an officer's wife, you know, you said, don't you, wouldn't you like to go to the club? And we had luncheon. And there were two hostesses, and they selected the place where we ate. And then it was an interesting place, believe me, to eat. Like Mendenhall Inn and Joseph.
Right.
And we met them in Munich back. And Nottingham Inn, and of course the Bayview, and McGregor's and Tidewater, and the hotels and motels in Aberdeen, and different places, you know. And I feel better that I went to the meeting for that. I don't remember when I went, but somebody asked me to go to a meeting and I went. And that was
2 years ago.
It was a few years ago, yeah. Because my husband's been dead 9 years or something like that. I know, it was, I remember when he died. And I think I remember coming home from one of the meetings, and he was still sitting in his chair. This is in February of 91. He was still sitting in the chair in his robe, and I said, what's the matter? And he said, I don't feel well. And I said, well, let's call the doctor. I called the doctor, and he sent an ambulance to the hospital. And while he was there, he got pneumonia. And he was only there a week when he died. And I think my daughter, she was there with me. And he died in February 15th, 91.
Well, I know you said earlier on 17 that you only sit twice in your life. The first time, how old were you in the first time you were sick?
I was 8 years old when I had the flu.
What was it like, the flu epidemic?
I was 16.
You were 2 6
now. I was 2 6 now, I'll tell you the truth. But I know my mother had a job. I'd go upstairs and downstairs. But I got through it. And I remember one thing about that illness. The medicine she gave me, I think it's called Calmerubox. I think it was called that. It looked like red jello.
Mustard. Oh,
that's exactly what it looked like, I remember. But we took that, and we did the trip. Neither my mother nor my father, that's what we did all night long.
Did your sister get it first?
She was upstairs and I was downstairs.
So both of you were sick at the same time?
Yeah. Well, when she was 13, she had typhoid fever. And I was 10, and they sent me away for the summer. And I went to my uncle's, where my grandmother was keeping house. I went to my aunt and uncle in Philadelphia, and I'll never forget this. While I was there, she took me to Fairmount Park, and we heard down to the people. And I never forgot that. But then I came from there to my aunt in Magnolia, and then my sister was getting better. She looked terrible. She lost a lot of weight. Nobody does this thing. A couple of doctors sent to her room, a couple of nurses. And she had Auburn's early hair. She was pretty good. She was in Saturday's resident. And so I came home. And it's so glad to be home with all my life. But from then on, she kept up weight. And when she died, she was almost found that my mother's people were stout. And she was a little on the stout side, and she died at 83. She was in Florida then.
What was her name?
It was Mark. Mark Clark. And her husband moved to Florida. In 66. Her husband lived 8 months. That was in 66. And she said, she would not come back. She said, no, I cannot. I just cannot back it in. If you go to lose, you know what back is like. So she stays. She made friends. And every February, when my husband had vacation, we went down. Well, we saw Florida, and he went to Tallahassee, and I didn't see one thing that ever would have gotten me to live there.
There's lots of people just today.
Cypress Gardens was pretty. There was some pretty, and Key West was lovely then. It was lovely, but not now. Because on one of our cruises, that was our last stop. And I noticed all the many drug addicts and drunks and people.
not the same.
I wish I hadn't seen that
frightened.
Because it was so lovely when we were there. Certain when we were there. But anyway, it was on one of our trips to Florida. My sister said, you ought to go to Key West. So we went. She also said, you ought to go to Disney. So we went. We really saw Florida.
Not big in Florida. Well, I also understand that the oldest living communicant of races informed the physical search they have today.
77 years.
Oh, my
I've been going there since I was 2 years old. But I joined in 1943.
Mm-hmm.
This is my 77th year. And
what all did you do there?
I did everything to preach. They never asked me to preach. I would have done that, I guess. But I did everything. I played the piano. I substituted at the organ. I taught Sunday school. I attended Charity Guilds. I went to all the meetings, and my husband and I were there. He was a veteran, and we did a lot over there.
Where did you learn to play piano?
Where did I learn?
When did you learn to play piano?
When I was a teenager. This elderly woman had a few students, and my mother, her name was Mrs. Baldwin, and my mother got in touch with her, and she said, yes, I can take them. And so that's how I learned.
Your father had written?
Yes, And my sister was not, my sister had a beautiful voice, but as far as the piano, she didn't make it, you know, somehow. But I played in Sunday school for 10 years, and then when our organist came ill, I was substituted. I was not a very good organist, believe me. I never had any left with or anything. But, yes, I'm still going. Now, we just, I'm not the oldest in age.
Okay.
Because we have one woman who's in the citizen's nursing home. And she's the oldest. She's 97. She's 97. And then we had another woman who just died recently who was 92. They were both older than I was. And now I'm the oldest community.
Probably the longest member too.
Oh, yeah. It was a very important part of my life, church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I lived next door. So my mother just sent us next door. They were Methodists. They came from Magnolia, and they were Methodists. And she said, I'm not taking you to the Methodist church. And I said, you're next door. And that's how we stayed. My sister and I were both in the choir. And it's a very important part of my life. Still is, although I don't participate in anything. I do little practice, but they don't take
education. Do you remember any stories that your parents or friends told you about all the times you go to
the day? Well, I know we had a dirt road in front of the house, and I remember this Italian who sold bananas in the little cars that we used to, he used to wheel around and bought bananas from him.
So he wheeled it around himself?
Yes, he wheeled it around himself. And he sold bananas. And of course, we all bought bananas from him. And
did you have other deliveries, though? Did everything else come by wagon or?
Yeah, but we had a nice man.
What, because more cotton he was found?
We had this huge ice box sat on the back porch. And the ice man, I guess it came every day, I don't remember how long that was. He liked it after the Olympic exhibition.
How about the railroad? Do you know the railroad?
Oh, yes. I traveled on the railroad. I knew it every day, Baltimore.
How did you go?
By the train. We were stationed out here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another girl who liked to go with me. She and I were good friends.
What was her name?
Jean Cassell. She was in a nursing home in California. She's 9 years old. So she's in a nursing home in California. And we used to travel on that train every day. When we got to Baltimore, we didn't take a cab or anything. We didn't have enough money on that train. But we walked down to Lighton Street to the school, and then in the afternoon we walked back. But there was a vestibule on the way, and I think it was a nickel or bun, you know, something like that. And so we sat around, I remember that. I have a good friend in here now, who says, Alfie Marisa. She graduated with me. We've been friends since before we went to school. And she's a widow. She lived down on Chester Drive. Her husband died. But we're talking the telephone. We used to go out to each other's rooms. But she doesn't want to do that anymore. I don't trust her.
Well, tell me the texture thing. What line is it, the Pennsylvania?
Early in the morning, about 7:30, because it took a while to get there, and closed it, so that I looked at night. But one thing about that period, every Wednesday, in Baltimore, there was a matinee at a show, and Jude and I had sick leave, and we paid 50 cents to sit up in the gallery, and we watched the show.
Do you remember any of the cinema we saw?
No. I didn't, a few years ago, but I don't remember now. I don't think there's anything we left out.
Well, How about sports? You said you played a little bit in sports?
I played sports all through school. I played basketball, volleyball, and track and ball. I don't think they play track and ball anymore.
What is track and ball?
You stand in a corner, circle. But I know it was practice ball, and I know I played on the team, but...
Did you ever compete on the
ice? Oh, yes. We went to Aberdeen, and, I don't remember going to Perry, though. I think we went to some of the places up in the valley. We played.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was there, and I went to some of the
places.
But swimming was my thing. That's what I love to do, and I spend everybody... Every minute of it, even if it was a park. When I was a little girl, I mean, I built that house with them.
What did the swimming pool look like?
Oh, they kept you up.
Yeah.
I had a rubber suit 1 year. I got a rubber suit 1 year. And I don't know where I got it. Why I bought it and everything, but I remember I had this other suit and it stretched, you know, and fit me very well. Still covers you up.
And has it covered some left to me, huh?
That's right, exactly right,
yeah. How about shopping? What stores did you shop in when you were going?
Oh, we had wonderful stores.
Mm-hmm.
We had wonderful stores. We had Lyons Pharmacy, we had a Harry Potter grocery store. We had Johnson's tobacco store. We had Huffman's drug shop. We had Ewell's pharmacy.
Right down here.
And in the next block, there was Hamburgers and Meat Miners. Natural Henry's and the 5 and 10. And Cole's Bakery. And we had wonderful stores. We had an A&K, and we had an American store. And then we had these private stores. Pat Murray always had a store right up in the corner. And he was just going to the United States.
Was it like an emotion store or was it like that?
There was a emotion store.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Breezy's operated that. He was also the telephone operator who announced our first guest store back then.
I think the fire department liked that.
And then the city council met up there until they built a few places out here.
Mm-hmm.
But, the city hall, I think that was 1917, I think. But anyway, I don't remember too much about the fire
department. Do you remember, you said your road was unpaved in front of your home?
It was unpaved.
Were most of those unpaved in half of those? Mm-hmm.
I guess we met in these caves, and maybe Boston was the best of that all. They were dirt roads.
They make the cars then, or?
We didn't have a car, but my father had a friend who had a car, and he would take us places.
Did you run to a horse and buggy, or did you walk, or?
No. Lived in Webster, and she drove over to Webster, and she used to come to Hattiesburg and visit us about once a week. And she always had a horse in Webster. And I remember that very well.
Is that her name from Webster?
Yeah,
she was
kind of
simple. She was kind of simple. What's the name of the aunt that lived
out in Magnolia? Aunt Mary Lake. Oh, yeah, I grew up with her.
How about the social life? What was it like then? I mean, did you have dance halls or?
Oh, the Bayou was built in 1920.
and their back porch was a dance hall. And we had beautiful dinners. That was a beautiful place. That whole back porch, they had a dinner every Saturday morning. And the people, I don't like the way they cut it up into apartments, man, but they should have preserved part of it. That's a beautiful building.
So another special thing for the church building?
Church building. We got Bible school, and we're at the Europe. I taught Bible school. We have a wonderful Bible school.
Where did you go on a date then?
We just rode around, got a nice ringtone or a soda or something like that.
Well, what was your first contact?
When I graduated, my baby and I went to Wally's. They had an ice cream store then. But otherwise, we got it at on Union Avenue. Mrs. Courtney had an ice cream store, and it was good ice cream, believe me. And then the pharmacy started taking ice cream, you know, all those times. I can remember that. We had Green Pharmacy and Lime Pharmacy, Foley Pharmacy, and then eventually City Pharmacy, but that's gone now. So, we had
Did you ever go to the Hot Girls Baseball?
Yes. My mother took us both out there to mend the horses. And I remember one horse was named Slippery Elm. And we would go out there. Of course, they came spring and fall, you know, and it's a beautiful track. And we would take us out there, and the hole was we went to the races, and it came out of that.
Did you ever take orders on our first or sometimes as well?
My mother took a man for years, and gave him coffee every morning, and he came back, Mr. Steinberg, and he came back every year. We had to give up, my sister and I had to give up our babies. But anyway, he was a nice person. He came back every year. A lot of people took him as a great person.
Did that take a sort of sitting over to an owner or a doctor or just someone come to see him?
Yeah, this man was in the clubhouse.
Yes, that's amazing. What was the clubhouse like?
This is kind of wheels and it was beautiful. Lovely spot.
How about, if you remember him at the Golden Street Company, anybody over there?
I don't know what people around here would have done for employment if it hadn't been created. And Edward Arsenal, really, really, very true. Very popular places.
I'm going to ask a couple of Lily Parker County. If you happen to know any of these places, you know Lily Parker?
Oh, yeah. He lived down on the Green Avenue.
Uh-huh.
I remember his mother and father in 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he built this beautiful home where Dr. Kennedy lived. And that's where it kind of died down there. And of course, he married his father. And, he's a famous,
local. Do you have any stories that you
could
tell me about him?
No, but I'm reading this book that, I have the book, and I read it periodically, you know. It's just facts about what they did and what he did. And it's a hell of a darn meal, I think. And he was a wonderful person. He said what he had to say, and it was always right, as far as I was concerned. although he was a Democrat, not a Republican, but it didn't matter. As long as they think what I believe is right, you know, I don't care what the story is.
How about Mary Lestat?
Who?
Mary Lestat.
I didn't know that.
Like that?
I used to be strong with the door.
How about John O'Neill?
No. The uncle?
How about Keenan Wright, did you know?
He was our superintendent. Wright was our superintendent, yes, I remember him very well. He had a school name for him.
Oh, yeah.
And where did you go to the school? Did they go to the
office? Yes, office.
In the office?
Yeah. I went to the office and then to the office.
Did you know anybody by the name of him?
Yes, this is Charlton. I was not a common. But before we start, let me ask you one more person. Did you know William S. James?
Oh, of course. I mean, Joyce Everett, he always came up today and he'd say, I'm just going to run down the hill. And I'd say, Billy, you get what you see. No, I don't dye my hair. He asked me that every time we meet at a dinner or something, you know. He was a wonderful person.
Sounds like a little bit of a character. Any little stories about him?
No, nothing but good. He was a good guy. He was humorous. And his widow is still living, you know. And Mary Delaney, as you saw, and Mary Delaney's daddy, his daughter. And that was a nice family. And he had gone. In fact, when that baby was built, Mr. Pearsall, who built the hotel, built this lovely home down by the park. And the James eventually bought it and lived there. So they lived down in that house for some time.
Well, what is the biggest change you can think of in Harper County?
Oh. Limited crime.
It's all naughty changes.
It's naughty changes. It absolutely is. I agree with everything Dr. Blum said on Sunday, and he said that is a pent-up anger. I believe it. No, Harper County is still a pretty county, although they're coming down to many wetlands and too many trees. But things have changed very much. I never locked my doors, even when my daughter was growing up. I never locked my doors. But I tell you, I lock it now, night and day. And you don't know what everybody's going to do. You just have to have faith and step out. And just live on day at a time.
I didn't ask you about this. You want to talk about it?
I don't think so.
I said you didn't think so, but I asked about this picture. Now tell me about this picture on the wall.
Well, when my husband was in Korea, we went to art school every Monday night in Abidjan. And my sister did those watercolors. She was very talented. I didn't have much talent in that line. But I did get a prize on it. I got a prize on that. And I have two in the back room that I did that I think are pretty good. And I gave some away. I did a little bit after I finished the course, you know. But I gave some on the way.
Where did you go in Abidjan to art school?
School. It was an adult education.
Adult education. Do you know your teacher?
Yes. He lived down here on 155. I can't think of the name.
It looks like it was an oil tank that you worked
on? Yeah,
it's
an oil.
You worked on
it?
Yeah,
my sister worked in oil.
What a color.
Yeah. Let me show you those in the back room.
Okay.
I think they're pretty good. Pretty average. They're pretty good.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you, and I'll just take a look at the pictures.